There's a Zohar that mentions there are 12 months in the year. 12 months of the year. 6 months were given to the Satan, and 6 months were given to Klal Yisrael. Nisan, Iyar, Sivan were given to Klal Yisrael. That's the months of Pesach and Shavuos. Tammuz of Elul, right? The dead of the summer, that was given to the Satan. Tishrei, Cheshvan, Kislev, it's given to Klal Yisrael. Sukkot and Hanukkah. Tevi Shvat Adar, the dead of winter, it's given to the Satan. We took back Elul through Tshuva. We took back Adar through the Purim story. Mashiach's going to come when we take back the other 4 months. Tammuz Av, Tevi Shvat. I like to say every summer, when Tammuz comes, it's time to take back Tammuz. We need to do what we can to take back Tammuz, and take back Av, and take back Tevis and Tevis Shvat. So whenever we are throughout the year, we need to inspire ourselves, we need to energize ourselves. No better place to do it than what used to be called Lake Como, Pennsylvania. Now it's a new name, Lake Wood. But, okay. But let's talk a little bit about something that maybe we thought we knew about, we thought we understood the concept, but maybe there's a little deeper idea that we could glean getting underneath the surface. Sleep is something that we all know we can't live without. We maybe don't get too much of it, get enough of it, but we know we can't live without it. The Rambam tells us in Hilchos Shavuos, not usually a source in a hashkafic shiur, or a Rambam in Hilchos Shavuos, but the Rambam tells us in Hilchos Shavuos that if somebody makes a shvua, they're not going to sleep for 3 days, then we give him malchus on the spot. That's a shvua shav. It's impossible. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created us that we need sleep. Right? Nishpa shalo yishan shlosha yamim. The Mishnayos in Shavuos and the Rambam in Hilchos Shavuos discusses the categories shvua shav, shvua sheker. So we know we need sleep. But the question is, what is the definition of sleep? And what is the definition of being awake? Because if we look at a Rambam that is somewhat more well known, the Rambam seems to be referring to a different type of sleep. I feel bad, there are people standing. There are more chairs here. Feel free if you want to, if everybody's okay, but I feel bad that people are standing. Feel free to sit. The Rambam tells us in Hilchos Tshuva, in source number 2, Afal Pisha Tkia Shofar Barash Hashanah Gzeras HaKasuv. Even though shofar on Rosh Hashanah is a gzeiras hakasev, why do we blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah? Because the Kadosh Baruch Hu told us to blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah. But still, remez yeshbo. There's a remez. It is very unusual for the Rambam to talk about hashkafa tamei hamitzvahs in the middle of the Mishnah Torah. Maybe at the end of a sefer, at the end of sefer avoda, he talks a little bit about hashkafa. At the end of sefer karbanos, talks about hashkafa. The last halacha in Hilchos Yisurim is Beach. He has a beautiful idea about doing mitzvah with the best that you have, hiddur mitzvah. But not too often in the middle of an area of halacha, even in Hilchos Tshuva, does the Rambam talk about tamei hamitzvos. And yet the Rambam here feels the need that he has to say something. So even though we blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah because of gzeiras hakasuv, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu told us to blow shofar, remez yeshba. There's a hint, there's a secret. Klomar, Uru Yeshenim Mishenaschem, Viner Damim Hakitsu Mitar Demaschem. Wake up from your sleep, from your slumber. Hakitsu Mitar Demaschem, V'chipsu Masechem, and search through your actions. V'chizru B'tshuva, V'zichru Barachem. Remember your Creator. Elu, these are those that are sleepwalking through life. Ashochachim es Ha'emes, Bahavli Azman, V'shogin Kol Shinasam, Behevel Varig. We're involved with things, with Hevel, with nonsense. So the Rambam says the shofar is supposed to wake us up. Are we all sleeping in shul on Rosh Hashanah? Nobody's sleeping in shul. We're all awake, we're scared, we're shaking, and yet the Rambam says the shofar needs to wake us up, but we're not sleeping. Unless we have to redefine what sleep means. And if we have to redefine what sleep means, how does the shofar specifically wake us up? Is it because it's a sound, it's a noise? If it's not literally sleep, then why is it shofar? Why does a matzo wake us up? Lulav wakes us up. Going to shul, you shake your lulav, it wakes you up. No, it doesn't say that. It's dafka shofar. What is it about shofar that wakes us up, and what's the definition of sleep then? And if a parallel lashon the Rambam has,
is there a connection between the two? A parallel lashon the Rambam has in Hilchas Mezuzah, the last halacha in Hilchas Mezuzah. The Rambam has Tefillah, Mezuzah, and Sefer Torah all together. So the Mezuzah section in Hilchas Tefillah, Mezuzah, and Sefer Torah, the Rambam has the following line in source number 3. Chayav Adam Lizar b'Mezuzah mipnei she'yikro b'sakol tamid. Mezuzah is an obligation that's constant. This is what I like to call a refrigerator Rambam. This Rambam belongs on the fridge. Right, if some, in the olden days, there used to be magnetic front of the refrigerator. Now, most of them are not. They put it on the side of the refrigerator. But this is a refrigerator Rambam. It has to be always on our minds. Says the Rambam, V'chozman she'yikonis v'yetze. Whenever you go in and out, whenever you go in and out a door, a transition moment, yifka b'yichud Hashem shmo shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You come in contact with Shem Hashem. V'yizkar avaso v'yeyor mishenaso. You wake up from your sleep. Again, that lashon. We're not sleeping, we're walking. We're walking. I had the schluss, we were just referring to my early years in MTA. So I had this. We had the schluss. Those who are old enough to remember, my father's Rebbe, Reb Dovah Lipschitz, Zichrono Livracha, he was very, very makpid about mezuzah. Whenever he used to go through, why you sometimes have these wide doorways? He used to walk, Rabbi Mendelsohn, I'm sure, remembers, he used to walk to the edge, look up at the mezuzah. Focus. I'm sure he was thinking about this Rambam. The Rambam says, right? The Yizkar Avaso, the Yer Mishenaso, remember his love and wake up from sleep. And then the Rambam says, the Yedan, we should know, She'ein Davar Ha'omeid La'olam Ula'olme Olamim El Yediyas Ru'olamim Bilvad. The only thing that's eternal in life is our connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Umiyar Huchoze L'dayta. Again, Mezuzah wakes us up. And again, we ask, so what does sleep mean? If you look at Rabbi Google says, sleep means a condition of body and mind that typically recurs for several hours every night, in which the nervous system is relatively inactive, the eyes closed, the postural muscles relaxed, and consciousness practically suspended. That's not what the Rambam is talking about. So again, the Rambam was a doctor also. So what does sleep mean? The shofar wakes you up, the mezuzah wakes you up. So how are we supposed to understand it? How do we define sleep, and why do these mitzvahs bedafka wake us up? The Medrash tells us, Medrash that many are familiar with, the Pirkei Rabbi Elazar, one of the early midrashim that we have. The Medrash tells us in source number 4 that the morning of Maimed Har Sinai, something pretty amazing happened. The Medrash tells us, V'halayla katzar, right, the nights are short during Sivan time, V'yatza Moshe l'machne Yisrael, V'hayam ma'orer osam yishenasam. We overslept the morning of Maimed Har Sinai. Let's think about that for a moment. Klal Yisrael, this is the moment that we have been dreaming about. Moshe Rabbeinu, before that, Yosef HaTzadik, Pakol Pakadati, you're going to go out of Mitzrayim, and you're going to go, and you're going to get the Torah, and Yom HaShishi, that's what the whole world is totally on, Moshe Rabbeinu promised, and probably in Marai, after we got a few mitzvos, Moshe Rabbeinu, probably 6 weeks, you're going to get the Torah, it's going to be amazing. And they come to Harsivan, they come to the Midbar Sinai, and then Moshe Rabbeinu says, 3 days, 3 days. Moshe Rabbeinu added on a day, 3 days. It was psyched. They all overslept? How is that possible? They all knew they were getting the Torah. Many drushes have been given about this medrash. Rav Schwab has a suggestion in source 5, very creative. Rav Schwab writes in Mayan Beis HaShaweva, V'davar zeh pliya tzuma. Bein karowe, this is a pliya. Eich yitochein. Shebnei Yisrael lo yavo b'chana d'rabba. How is it possible they all overslept? And everybody, it wasn't just some people. They all overslept. Aaron HaKohen, Yeshua ben Nun, Kalev ben Yefune, Nachsha ben Aminadav. Everybody overslept. So says Rav Schwab, Abir Yeshlomar, unbelievable. Shavoseinu Chashvu, they knew. Klal Yisrael, Bizman Amidbar already knew the Rambam and Hilchos Yisodei HaTorah about the four differences between the prophecy of Moshe Rabbeinu and the prophecy of Olad Nevi'im. They knew that only Moshe Rabbeinu is awake when he speaks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They knew that. And they knew they're going to have an awesome experience, this divine revelation, Maimon Har Sinai, the next morning. So says Rav Schwab, what did they do? They wanted to be in a deep sleep. They wanted to be, they knew they had to be subconscious when they spoke to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They knew that, like Avram Avinu, like all the other Nevi'im, we basically were out of it, speaking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Klal Yisrael said, oh, we're going to have Maimon Har Sinai, we're going to stay in bed. We're going to dafka to be able to have the experience. They didn't think that they were going to be on the level of Moshe Rabbeinu. So he says, on the right, bottom right, yes, they were different, but Lachain Moshe Rabbeinu had to wake them because he said, no, this is different. This is going to be as close to Pale Pat as you can imagine. Right, the Gemara says, we died, Tchias HaMesim, okay, Moshe, can you do the rest? But maybe, says Rav Schwab, that's why they went to sleep and they stayed in bed. But again, that's why we stay up all night on Shavuos, is the minhag. But again, that's not the pshuto shel hadvarim, the pshuto shel hamedrash. So maybe there's another idea. What does it mean that they overslept and Moshe had to wake them? And one final question. The Gemara tells us in Maseches Brachos, on Daf Nun Zayin, source number 6, Chamisha Echad Mishishim. There are 5 one-sixtieths. The Marsha says, because if it's more than 1/60, it would be batal b'shishim. So it has to be 1/60, and not less than that. 5 1/60. What are they? Elohim, Eish, fire. Echad mishishim legehenim. Fire is 1/60 of gehenim. Dvash. Echad mishishim leman. Shabbos. Echad mishishim leolam haba. It's me'ein olam haba. Shena. Echad mishishim lemisa, that's the one we're going to focus on. Sleep is 1/60 of death. Chalom echad mishishim lenevuah. And a dream is 1/60 of prophecy. What's the connection between sleep and death? A person is alive when they're sleeping. You can wake them up. Okay, some of the systems in the body go a little slower. But what's the connection between death and sleep? Are they connected in any sense? So what's the definition of sleep? The Rambam Shofar, the Rambam Mezuzah. What did Klal Yisrael do the morning of Maimon Har Sinai? And what's the connection between Echad Mishish? So to start the answer, let's ask a couple of other questions on something we do every day. Every day. We know the morning Birchat HaShachar, we all say them. In the days of old, the Gemara tells us, we used to say Birchat HaShachar, when we experience certain events. We didn't say it all in shul. When we opened up our eyes, pokeach ivrim. When we got dressed, malbish arum. And they're in order. Right? And then when we, sat up, matir asurim. And when we put our feet on the ground, rokaras, right? Rokaras. And then when we started walking, hamechem is the gavra. We put on our shoes, right? Jocelyn called Sarki. It's all in order. Fine. The first one was, I skipped it, right? When you hear the rooster. What's the last one? Hamaver Shena Me'enai. Shouldn't that be the first one? Isn't that like out of order? We did them all straight. Okay, Avri Malvish Arumim Matir Asurim Zokim Kafufim. Rokar Zalamayim Shazalik. Shoes are last. And then, so what's Hamaver Shena doing at the last one? Question one. Question two on Hamaver Shena. The poskim tell us that we don't say Amen right after Hamaver Shena. We go right into the next paragraph. Right, Hamaver Shena, that's like on Shavuos morning when the person who slept is like saying it. No, loud. Continue going. Like he's saying it quietly. No, it's all one bracha. Hamaver Shena may nice when we have a pie. Vehira samabadacha shazbarak lehna besurasecha. Why isn't there an Amen there? As if there's a hemshech? There's one theme? Hamaver Shena may nice. Hashem, help me open up my eyes. And what's the next pasuk? Shetagilenu besurasecha v'davkeinu besurasecha. What did that have to do with Hamaver Shena? Two different themes. Generally, brachas are one theme. Why are we not allowed to be mafsik? There's no amen between Hamaver Shena and Targilena Besorasecha, Badabkena Mitzvasecha. These were all between 6 and 7. They're not on the sheet. And finally, most brachos have to do with human beings. We don't mention anything Jewish, except in two brachas. Well, really, three. Right? Oter Yisrael b'sifara, which is a minhag of touching your yarmulke, touching the tefillin shel rosh, because that has to do with the crown of Am Yisrael. Ozer Yisrael b'gvura, Azar. The belt also symbolizes something unique to Yahadus, to Yisrael. In this bracha, Hamavar Sheina Me'enai, how do we end off? Hagomel Chasadim Tovim La'amo Yisrael. What's Yisrael about Hamavar Sheina? Oh, there Yisrael, about the crown that we have. Daf Yomi, a week or two ago, had the three crowns that the Kalim of the Beis HaMikdash, they symbolize, right? Kahuna, Malchus, Torah. So, Ozer Yisrael, we understand why there's Yisrael. Ozer Yisrael, we understand why there's Yisrael. Why is there a Yisrael at the end of Hamavar Sheina? So why is it at the end? Why are you not Mafsik and we go right into Targilei Nevi'im? And why does it have Yisrael? Explains Rabbi Lamb, Zichrono Livracha, in his Sefer, if you see it, it's not as popular, I think, as it should be, Torah Beloved. It's a Sefer with about 50 Ma'amarim of Rabbi Lamb, all about Torah and Shavuos. It's unbelievable. Rabbi Lamb writes there, the definition of sleep and being awake has to be reanalyzed. The definition of being awake, says Rabbi Lamb, is when we're connected to Torah. We can be physically awake, but if we're not connected to learning Torah, to living Torah, to breathing Torah, then we're not awake. Rabbi Lamb says in source number 7, if we do not study Torah, if there is no that you habituate us to your Torah, how do we know in the first place that we are awake? Without Torah, we must always confront the basic question of what criteria we have to know that we're not really asleep. Hamavar Sheina in the brachas is not referring to the physical opening up our eyes. That would be the beginning, right after Anosin Lasefivina. It's after we're dressed and after we get on our shoes. Hamavar Sheina, Shetargileinu Basarasecha. You wake us up, you give us awake time in our life through the connection to Torah that we have. Because that's what makes us alive and that's what makes us awake. And that's why you go right into Targilei Nevi'im. And that's why it's Yisrael. Because it's something unique to Klal Yisrael. And he writes an amazing comment. He says, in the 1700s, there was a machlokas between the Gaon and the Chassidim. Many machlokas. But one of them was, the Vilna Gaon often received malachim in his dream. They want to tell him secrets of the Torah. He always rejected them. No, I don't want to know. I want to work it in myself. Because the Vilna Gaon, the Gra said, Torah that you learn when you're sleeping is not Torah. And the Hasidim said, Torah you learn when you're sleeping, you must not really be sleeping. So both the Gra and the Hasidim held that Torah and sleep can't converge. The question is, okay, so what has to be re-understood? But they both agree that the opposite of connection to Torah is sleep. Because that's the definition. Rav Schwab points out in his Sefer on the Siddur, we know back in Parshas Bereishis, Adam HaRishon is put to sleep in order to create Isha, who later became Chava, after the Chet. And the Torah tells us, Vayipol Hashem Elokim Tardema LaAdam, he has to sleep, Vayivin Hashem Elokim, he built Chava, Vayivin LaAdam. Says Rav Schwab, fascinating Ha'ara. He went to sleep, Chava was created, it never says that Adam woke up. It never says that Hashem woke Adam up. He put him into a tardema, he created a chatan, and he woke up. Okay, maybe he woke up, mistama. Not every detail's in the Torah. Says Rav Schwab, no. He didn't wake up. Why? Because the Torah wasn't given yet. And he didn't wake up till Yom HaShishi. As the Gemara says, in Bar Avodah Zarah, in Shabbos, Reish Lakish, to Amar Reish Lakish, Mai Dechsev Ayer Evoker Yom HaShishi, what's the HaShishi, the sixth day? The world was in limbo until the Torah was given thousands of years later, 2,448 years after Chava was created. Until that time, is the world going to continue? Is the world not going to continue? T'na Yisna, Malam Yishin, Lekash Baruch Hu Baisa Bereishis, Im Atem Mekablim HaTorah, Atem Iskaimim. So he never woke up. Maybe some of the Avos intuited the Torah, so they were awake. But the world was sleeping. It doesn't say he woke up because he didn't until Mayim Bahar Sinai. Because the definition of being awake is being connected to Torah. Rav Soloveitchik writes much about this topic. I just gave you one piece, which is so inspiring, where Rav Soloveitchik discusses in source number 10. When I teach, time comes to a stop for me. I do not look at the timepiece, the clock or my wish rods. I just teach. When I teach Torah, I feel the breath of eternity on my face. Even now, in my old age, teaching Torah and giving shiurim relieves me of the fears of death. When I teach Torah, I feel rejuvenated, as if I were 25 or 30 years old. If not for the study and teaching of Torah, I would have lost my sanity. In the year of my triple mourning in 1967, when he lost his brother, his mother, and his wife in the same year. I was on the verge of mental collapse and breakdown. I did not break down. I emerged victorious. I am not trying to brag or boast. I'm telling the truth. I was sick, and the following year I saw me out. Because of my teaching Torah, I was not alone. I felt I had somebody. That somebody was invisible, but I felt his presence. I could confide in him. There was someone on whose shoulder I could cry, etc. Turning the page. People do not know, again, please take it in the proper spirit, how busy I am and what my schedule is. They know I teach Torah here in New York. He flies back to Boston every week. It never happens that I have any time, he says. I'm supposed to give a shiur for an hour and a half. It never happens. I get through the shiur 2 hours, 3 hours, and maybe even more. It's very strange. The boys in my class are very young, perhaps a quarter or a third of my age. They come out exhausted. I come out refreshed after the shiur. Then I return to Boston every Friday morning, 8:30 to 11:30. I learn with my son-in-law, Rabbi Twersky. Believe me, I can't afford to take a nap on Shabbos afternoon. I haven't slept on Shabbos in 20 years. First, I need to learn with my grandson, Moshe. Rabbi Twersky, Hashem Yikom Damo. 3 hours at least. And then I study with Meir, Rabbi Twersky, from our yeshiva, my Rebbe. 2.5 hours. The same starting Sunday, Monday, month. Keep reading a little bit more. Somehow when I open up the Gemara, either alone or when I'm in company as I teach others, I have the impression, do not call it a hallucination, as if I hear, so to say, the soft footsteps of somebody invisible. He comes in and sits down with me, looking over my shoulder. I feel the Shekhinah with me. Rav Soloveitchik felt alive and awake when he was connected to Torah, when he was learning Torah. That gave him chizik. Maybe that's the pshat of the Medrash. Bnei Yisrael overslept and Moshe had to wake them up with Torah. And they didn't oversleep, mamish. What does it mean, sleep? It means Hashem woke them up. Moshe woke them up because the definition of sleeping is not being connected to Torah. And by giving the Torah, that woke them up. That's what Moshe Rabbeinu had to do. They could have been on Har Sinai, but the description of the experience is that they were sleeping from Adam HaRishon until they received the Torah. And maybe that's now pshat of the Rambam in Hilchos Mezuzah, the second Rambam we saw, where the Rambam tells us Mezuzah, which is part of Torah, which is a cloth of Torah, the Mezuzah wakes us up. Right? Back of the Rambam that we had, back in source number 3. The Yizkar Avasu V'yeyur Mishenaso. Mezuzah is a form of Torah, and that's what wakes us up from sleepwalking. So are we awake? It depends on our connection to Torah. But maybe there's another idea as well. And maybe there'll be a third idea. Who else slept in Tanakh? There are a lot of dreamers in Sefer Bereishis. Sefer Bereishis has many sleepers and many dreamers. There's not one dream in the rest of the Torah after Sefer Bereishis. Sefer Bereishis has many. Paro dreams, and Yosef dreams, and Yaakov dreams. Many, Sarah Mashkim, Sarah Ofim, no more dreams. Who else has famously slept in Tanakh? Yonah. Yonah went to sleep. Let's remember Yonah for a moment. Interesting, we landed on Yom Kippur afternoon. Where are we? Yonah, source 11. So there's a major storm going on, and the boat is going back and forth. Vayira malachim, vayizaku shalachav. The sailors are screaming at each other. What's going on? What's going on? We're going to capsize. And what does Yonah do? I'm going to sleep. I'm going to sleep. That's what it says. Yonah goes to sleep. Vayishki goes down to the belly of the boat. Yarkase Asvina, Vayishka Vayarde. Good. The captain goes, where's Yonah? Vayikrav Leilav Rava Chavav Yelo, Malach Anirdach! What are you sleeping for? Was he really sleeping? You think he could sleep? Again, the characters in Tanakh, obviously, Yonah was a Talmud of Elisha Navi, but he was a human being. The boat is going back and forth, and the boat, I'm going to sleep, I'm good. So maybe he was sleeping, but maybe this is alluding to another definition of sleep and wake. Again, Rabbi Lam, in a different article in that Sefer notes, we say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't sleep. Hinei lo yanum v'lo yishan shemei Yisrael. So what's the opposite of that? Let's keep reading that parak in Tehillim. What does it mean? Hinei lo yanum v'lo yishan shemei Yisrael. What is the next pasuk in Tehillim? In Kuf Chaf Aleph. Hashem shomrecha. Hashem tzilcha yad yiminecha. Hashem watches over you. Taking care of somebody else. Focusing on the needs of others. You want to be awake? That means being connected to a fellow Jew. When we sleep, it's the most selfish experience that we have as a human being. We're within our own world, under our cover, just that's it. Everything else we do, we can be connected to someone else. Sleep is just us. When you go to sleep, doesn't matter if you're married, you're alone. Being awake is being connected to someone else. Yonah, Malach HaNirdam, why are you being so selfish? Sleeping, focusing on yourself. Look at the boats. Look at everyone else on the boats. Wake up and connect yourself to the other passengers. The Gemara Nadar and Samach Dalid. Also elsewhere. Right, Chazal tell us the four people who a part of them is not alive. Right, Dalek Hashuvim Kemes. Four people considered dead. 13 on the bottom. Ani, a poor person. Mitzora, somebody with Sarah. Suma, a blind man. Umishain Lobanim, someone who doesn't have children. What is the connection between these four being blind? Saras, Mitzora, Ein Lobanim, explains Rav Chaim Shmulevitz. Because all of them, in a certain sense, can't give. And part of being awake and part of being alive is to give, is to share. A Mitzora is sitting outside the machane, all by himself. And Ani has to take. He has to accept. Mishein lo banim. I can't give to their primary recipients. And Asuma, Rachman al-Islan, has to take much more than he has to give. Because there's a chelik of life. Of being alive and being awake that has to do with giving, that has to do with sharing. Rav Chaim Shmulevitz writes in Source 14 in the Sichas Musar. Bahani Chashiv Kameis, Ein Ze Mishum Shechaser Lo Atzmo, El Mishum She'ein Biyacholto Lases Luzulaso Ma'uma. There's an element to being alive and being awake. We need to give, we need to share. So, Rav in Pesach, Rabbi Eisenman. It's a Sefer, Shul with a View. So in that Sefer, he tells the following story. He says, Chaman al-Aslan, a couple of years ago, before the Sefer was written, there was a fire, Chaman al-Aslan, in a family's house. They lost everything, a bunch of kids. So he signed a hachraza with a number of other rabbanim to help this family. Whoever can help the family, please, you know, give whatever you can, support. And he wrote on the bottom, whatever you could do would be appreciated. And signed by all the rabbanim. And he writes, a few months after they signed this, he went with the other rabbanim to visit how the family is doing. And they visit there, and they say the community has been amazing and helpful. We're really trying to get back on our feet. Especially Edith Bateman. That's the name he uses in the story. Especially Edith Bateman. She's amazing. Edith Bateman. She's a Holocaust survivor. She lives on the other side of town. What does she do? She comes every Monday. She takes all of our laundry. She goes, whatever she does, she brings it back on Wednesday, clean, folded, beautiful. Okay, so after the visit, where do they go? They go straight to Edith Bateman. They go to the other side of town in a rent-controlled area. Hot. Go to the 12th floor of this building. Go in. It's dirty. It smells. It's hot. They knock on the door. Edith Bateman answers like, whoa, what, Rabbanim, what are you? She's like, no, they're okay, okay, how are you? How's everything? She's like, well, Gravik, come in, come in. They sit down on a couple of rickety chairs. And they say everything okay after they sit down. They say, Mrs. Bateman, you know, they told us, remember the family had the fire? They told us that you go and take the laundry. She starts beaming. She's like, yeah. They're like, you want to tell us what? She says. She says, you know, I lived through the war. I saw the worst Gehenna. And in Auschwitz, everything was terrible, but one thing I couldn't rid myself of was the stench. The stench of the disgusting clothing that we all wore all the time. I made a nether with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if I get out of this Gehenna and you bless me with children, they will always have freshly laundered clothing, folded, smelling nice. I was never zochet to fulfill that nether. I was not blessed with children. But a few months ago, right, you put out that hachraza, you put out that sign, and on the bottom it said, anything you could do. All of a sudden, a light bulb went on. I said, this is my chance to fulfill my nether. Every Monday, I get on a bus, I take two buses to go there with my shopping cart, and I take the laundry, I take it back, I put it in the wash, I fold it. I feel like the Kohen Gadol in the Kodesh Kadosh. I feel like I'm doing the Avodah. I feel so alive. More than the rest of the week. Because when we're giving, and when we're sharing, we're alive, we're awake. We're connected. Malacha nir dam yona! Get connected to your fellow Jews, to your fellow people. And the Rambam didn't say it beferish, I didn't find, about Shena in this context. But the Rambam tells us in Ilchas Yontif, the Rambam tells us that if we eat and our door is closed to any needy, that's a different definition of eating. Source 15, the Rambam says, Ein bas, ein simcha lo babasar, v'yayin, u'kshu ocha v'shose chayiv la'achil la'ger la'yasam la'amana. We have to give to all the needy. Im shara ni'im hum lalim, with all the poor. If we close the doors of our chatzer, and I don't give to others, Einza simchas mitzvah, simchas kreso. It's selfish simcha. Because a person's not really alive when a person does that. A person's not really awake. They're not focused on others. So what's the definition of being awake? Number one, connected to Torah. Rambam Hilchos Mezuzah. Right, Hamaver Shena Me'enoi, Targilena B'sar Rasecha. All of them didn't wake up until Maimon Har Sinai. Definition number two, being awake, is being connected to each other. Being able to give. Dal Chashuvim Kemeis. Number two. But maybe there's one other idea. One final idea. We never answered one of our earlier questions. What is it about shofar? Why does the shofar wake us up? Matzah doesn't wake us up. Lulav doesn't wake. Why dafka the shofar? Why is that? And again, it's because it's a sound, because it's noise, but we're not talking about physical sleep anyway. So what is it about shofar? Let's think back for a moment to the end of Parshas, the end of Sefer Bereishis. Yaakov Avinu, he's had a difficult life. There's a very emotional Rashi. Always gets me when the end of Sefer Bereishis, I think it's on the pasuk of Osi Shikaltam Yosef and Efshim, and Rashi quotes that Yaakov says, you know, how many tsaras? And Rashi lists them. Tsaras Esav, Tsaras Lavan, Tsaras Dina, Tsaras Yosef, Tsaras Shimon, Tsaras Binyamin. Like every one, it's heart-wrenching. What do we know about Yaakov Avinu during those two decades when Yosef was in Mitzrayim? What does the Torah tell us? Nothing. The Torah doesn't say a word. But Yaakov was a human. We know when he comes to Mitzrayim, he tells Paro about the difficulties that he had. What can we imagine was the state of being of Yaakov Avinu during those years? He did what he needed to do. There was probably uncomfortableness between the Shvatim. Do we ever know if Yaakov found out? That's a mystery. If Yaakov ever found out? But Yaakov, we know he was a broken spirit. We don't know anything about those years. Until Vayigash. And what happens? The brothers come back and tell him Yosef is alive. And the pasuk tells us, Vayaris Agolos, okay, Rashi, Arufa, Laseso, and what happens at the moment that he hears that Yosef is alive? Vatechi Ruach Yaakov Avihem. His spirit becomes alive. What do you mean alive? He's been alive for many years. Vatechi, he got a chiyus, now he's awake. He's not just alive, he's been physically alive. He wakes up. What happened? What happened at this moment that now he's awake? Rashi. Sharsa alav shchina. Shapir shemimen. Hashem communicated with him. Hashras hashchina. Ruach HaKodesh. The third definition of being awake is when we're communicating with Hashem. And when he is communicating with us. Sharsal of Shechina and Yaakov wakes up. Look at the Radak on the Pasuk. Ruach Nevuah Shepir Shemimenu Miyom Sheyatzei Yosef. He didn't speak to Hashem in 22 years. The Bechor Shar Nisorer V'Nasachai V'Zariz V'Sameach. Being alive is when we're connecting to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yaakov had it through Nevuah. But it's not just Nevuah. We also communicate with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Nevuah is in one direction. Tefillah is in the other direction. Rav Soloveitchik writes beautifully in Isha Emunah, in Source 21, why did the Anshei Knesset HaGadola B'Dafka at that moment in history, why were they misaking all the details about tefillah, which words we're supposed to use, and the time we're supposed to daven, all the details were at the beginning of Bayis Sheni there. The Anshei Knesset HaGadola explains for Soloveitchik, because they knew that Nevuah was ending. They knew, I saw recently, in the Avos Rebbe Nassan, which is an expansion of Pirkei Avos has 5 or 6 prakim, Avos Rebbe Nassan has 41 prakim. For every line in Pirkei Avos, there's about 3 paragraphs in Avos Rebbe Nassan. So Avos Rebbe Nassan has Moshe, Yoshua, Zekanim, Shoftim, Chagai Zachariah Malachi, Nevi'im. I'm sorry, Nevi'im, Chagai Zachariah Malachi. So it's a separate stage. They were the last Nevi'im. They were transition figures. Says Rav Soloveitchik, they knew that Nevuah was ending. But the Rabbanim of the time wouldn't accept the tragic reality that there would be no longer communication with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So they can't control Nevuah, but they can control the conversation. If Hashem is not talking to us, we're going to talk to Him. Tefillah is the flip side, says Rav Soloveitchik of Nevuah. It's just a question of who's talking and who's listening. A conversation requires two parties. It could even be, maybe, the Rambam, as we know, is one of the 13 principles of faith. One of the Arimamins is that we believe there's something called Nevuah. What is Nevuah? We believe that there's communication between HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Part of that Arimamin is Tefillah. We believe there's connection and communication with HaKadosh Baruch Hu in either direction. That's where Soloveitchik writes, Hahevdo, line 8. Hahevdo bein Tefillah bein Nevuah eino misyaches letochno shel adusiyah. There's no difference in terms of the content between Tefillah and Nevuah. It's just a question of who's talking and who's listening. Because that's what makes a person alive when we're communicating with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rav Eli Lapian, the late Elio, towards the end of his life, even when he got very, very old, in the morning he got out of bed, he jumped out of bed, he ran to shul. And there was the Rebbe. Rebbe, you're mocked about everything, but why Dafka, this idea, this inyan of jumping out and running to shul in the morning? The Leib Elio says, Achermeh of Esrim, we're going to sit in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we're going to be on one side of the desk, excuse me, on the other, and he's going to say, look Elio, let's see how Elio did. Take out a Shulchan Aruch, Chelek Aleph of the Mishnah Berurah, Simen Aleph Sif Aleph. I don't want to get out on the first question. Okay, maybe a few. Simen Aleph, wake up like a lion and jump to talk to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I don't want to get out on question one. Because he knew that connecting to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is what really is called being awake and giving chai. And that's Yaakov Avinu, he became alive. when he's communicating again with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So why a shofar? Why does a shofar wake us up? There are many proofs. Can't have a separate shiur about this now. There are many rayas. I gave you two. That shofar is a form of tefillah. Shofar is a tefillah without words. But it's a tefillah nonetheless. It's the only mitzvah that we do in the middle of Shmoneh Esrei. We don't eat matzah in the middle of Shmoneh Esrei. We don't shake a lulav in the middle of Shmoneh Esrei. There's even a din in the poskim. How could you hold a sitter? You can't hold anything. Okay, but it's a sarach ha-tefillah. Shofar is sarach ha-tefillah. A seder ha-brachas. Shofar is a tefillah without words. What do we say in Musaf? Hashem is maven umazin. What's maven? He understands our shofar. What's there to understand? You hear our shofar. What do you mean understands our shofar? Because shofar is a tefillah. Many reasons why we daven a tefillah without words of Rosh Hashanah, but it is a tefillah. The Rav Gemara Rosh Hashanah. It's shaped in the way that our posture is supposed to be, right, in davening. Why is the shofar bent? Because you're supposed to be bent over in davening. Why is the shofar straight? It's supposed to be straight. It's parallel because shofar is a form of tefillah. If that's true, then is there a better tool to wake us up and say, wake up and connect and communicate with Hashem, than shofar, which itself is a tool of tefillah, is a mechanism to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the way that we need to. Because when we communicate with Hashem, then we're really alive. One of the greats of our generation, not rabbinic greats, but one of the greats of our generation is Natan Sharansky. If you've ever read any of his books, an amazing individual. So in one of his books, he writes the story that when he went into incarceration the first time, his wife, he just got married, like right at the Shevard office, he got right in the Soviet Union, he was taken into jail, his wife gave him a little Tehillim. A little Tehillim. He didn't know Hebrew. He didn't know anything. But he knew this Psalms, this was something he needed to keep. And throughout his years of incarceration, he was Moser Nefesh for this Tehillim. And he went into solitary confinement until they would give it to him. He went on a hunger strike. He writes, he somehow, I don't understand how, he's like a super genius in mathematics. He taught himself Hebrew based on the letters and the, I don't know how, but he writes the first pasuk that clicked, that we say in Hebrew, Nafal Ha'asimon, the first pasuk that clicked, Gam Ke'elech Begeit Salmaves. So there are so many stories about this Tehillim. Fast forward. About 5-6 years ago, it's a woman who teaches Tanakh in Israel. She says, She wrote that she was online in a bakery on an Erev Shabbos buying challahs in Yerushalayim, and all of a sudden she sees online in front of her, right in front of her, was Natan Sharansky buying challahs for Shabbos. So she says, Mr. Sharansky, wow! It's such a b'schus to meet you. It's like, yeah. I teach Tehillim. I teach all about your story and about the amazing Mesiras Nefesh that you have for your Tehillim. He reaches into his pocket and he takes out the Tehillim. And she says, I don't believe it. You carry that wherever you go? He said, no. I don't carry it. It carries me. Because he was alive through that Tehillim. He was awake through that Tehillim, through the connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu through that Tehillim. So number one, how are we awake? What makes us awake and sleep? It's not what Google says. Being awake is number one, connected to Torah. And the mezuzah wakes us up. And that's why Amar Rishena is connected to Hargilena B'Sor HaSecha. That's at the end of Birchas HaShachar. Because it's not talking about physically being awake. And that's Rav Soloveitchik, how he was awake and alive. And maybe that's what the Medrash means, that Moshe woke them up because Torah is the opposite of sleep. Number two, being awake is about being connected to others and sharing with others and not acting like Yonah did until he learned the lesson. And Edith Bateman taught us how to really be awake. To be able to connect to others, Dal Chashuv and Kames, because they can't connect in the same way that others can. And finally, being awake means being connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and being in communication with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's why it's Dafka the shofar, because the shofar is a form of tefillah. And Yaakov Avinu wakes up when Sharsa Lav Shechina, when the Shechina starts talking to him again. So our avoda is to try to, as many minutes in our life as possible, we need sleep, but to be awake. And maybe everything we've said is a Mishnah that we all know in Pirkei Avos. Ashlosha Dvarim, Olam Omei. Our worlds, each of our worlds, stand on Torah, Avoda, that's the third one, and Gemilas Chasad. So Bezal Hashem, it's time to take back Tammuz. It's time to connect, to do what we can every single day, to connect to Torah in the Beis Medrash, to connect to each other in the Beis Medrash, after the Beis Medrash, the dining room, the basketball court, there are so many places to connect to each other. And of course, to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ashlosh HaDvarim HaOlam Omeid. Yir Ratzon. That Be'ez Hashem, we should continue learning with each other and from each other. Be'ez Hashem, in Marash HaKola West, in Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh. Be'ez Hashem, we still have a few days to make Tisha B'Av Yontif. Be'ez Hashem, we should share much more Torah. Be'ez Hashem, to bask in the glory of our Rabbeim. And Be'ez Hashem, we should to bring tremendous nachas to HaKadosh Baruch Hu through trying to be awake as many minutes of our life. Thank you.